Good morning. Are you happy to be here? It's good to be in God's house. Though it's a bit cold, it's good. I was saying in the earlier service, in Sri Lanka we have four seasons, and that is hot, 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 and hot. So this morning when I got up and I came out, it was pretty cold, but I'm happy that this family of God is warm. God is good. Let me start by telling you thank you so much for everything you have done, especially for this team that has gone to Sri Lanka to build a wing of our Bible school. The Bible school has gone through many trials, and we thank God for people like Pastor Dobson and his wife who have come faithfully and stood through. And the missionaries over the years, in the last service we had the Farrans here, who really helped my dad, gave him a hand when he was just a boy and a kind of a reject, to come up. And I'm so happy to be here. You know, coming from Sri Lanka, and then you come to Springfield, and every corner you see a church, it's a bit different. You can talk loud about Christianity and not worry about it, you know. To see Brother Flattery and Brother Ron Peck and Gary Brugman, who was my dean in Bethany. So, you know, when I mess up, you know who to blame. And Melody Palm, who went to college with me, and a great friend. And it's good to be here. And God is good. How many of you are happy you're part of this church? That didn't sound too good. How many of you are happy you're part of this church? Amen. Because God is here. Amen. I've been told that you don't have a pastor yet, but I want to tell you, where God is, all things are possible. Happy to see Myrna Wilkins. We met in Colombia, you know, so many good things. I don't know about you, but I'm 15,000 miles away from home, and I feel at home this morning. And God is so good. You know, sometimes you have given to missions for years. Now, this is not a mission Sunday. The pastors haven't asked me to do this. But I was just sitting there thinking, you know, you have missions conventions. You have different guys come. They put the pictures up. They give the stories. And some of you say, oh, no, here we go again. Every time. Now it's missions. And some people even stay at home and they know it's missions. So they are bored. They're tired. I don't blame you, because when you do it for years sometimes, but I want you to know, the missionaries were pulled out of Sri Lanka over 40 years ago. When I grew up, I hardly saw any missionaries because the government stopped. But what the missionaries by then had done, we had six churches in the AG, and it was either swim or drown. But the nationals got up, and my father was one of them, and they just decided to swim. It was very tough. And, you know, Speed the Light didn't come in, Light for the Lost didn't come, none of those stuff. They had to just make it work because there was no missionary. And today I want to tell you that we are growing, probably the strongest growing church in the whole nation, with thousands of believers. And, you know, I'm just here to tell you, thank you, because sometimes you don't see your investment. You don't see the seeds or the fruit of what you have done. So it's okay if you're a bit bored, but don't stop doing what you're doing. Support your missionaries. You know, give to the kingdom. Invest. God is doing some marvelous things. You see, you taught us a lot of things. You taught us how to have faith. You taught us how to trust God no matter what. You know, that's why the persecution in Sri Lanka has risen. And they're burning down churches and people. And now we're in 2010, but in 2009, a pastor came home, AG pastor, in the east with his wife after visitation, was parking the motorcycle. A gunman came, shot him, shot the wife. He died. The wife, the bullet missed her spine by about 2 or 3 millimeters. She survived, and all in front of their 10-year-old child. And this last month in our church, we closed down 3 of our works in the south because mobs would come and the police won't be doing much, and so they will break down and burn and threaten. But I want to tell you, there are pastors out there who still will not leave those stations. I told one young guy who had 2 kids, I said, it's not an insult. Don't feel embarrassed. Just leave and come, because you can't stay there anymore. He said, I will never leave. So, you know, when you invest, when you get behind and you support a field, now you have us nationals, and we have taken the torch, and thank you. Because you know why? We have learned that God, everything about God is true. Nothing in this world is a lie. We believe that when we ask Him, we shall receive. When we pray, He does the impossible. And there is nothing that God can't do. And you know, forgive me, but I'm a bit sad when I come back to the place that taught me the gospel, that sometimes the devil has deceived some of you. He has lied to you. You know, God is not for somebody else and for this person and the one with the special anointing. There are no superstars in the kingdom of God. There are only children. You have been bought with the blood. It's the same spirit in you, in me. And you know, God cares for you. You are God's man. You are God's woman. Do you know God doesn't anoint buildings? He doesn't anoint pulpits. He doesn't anoint microphones. He doesn't anoint television cameras. But He anoints men and women. And you are God's man. You are God's woman. And God wants His return on His investment in you. Why are you saved when millions haven't heard the name of Jesus even once? Why? You know, you come to church every week 52 times. You come in the evening, 104. You come on a Wednesday, 156. Some of you don't, but I know that. But then you have Christian TV. You have DVDs. Why do you have so much when over half the world hasn't had one adequate message of the gospel? Is God fair? I'll tell you, I come from the third world. Not even 1% born again in my country. I come to tell you, God is very, very fair. How many can say amen? He is a fair God. So you're saying, how can that be fair? I'll tell you how. To whom much is given, much is required. He gives you because He sees you fit. He knows you can do something about it. He knows that He's investing in you because you are chosen by Him. The devil is a liar and a deceiver, and he wants you to be just to exist this life. Oh, let's get through the mortgage. Let's just make the house payments. Oh, the kids have gone to school. Bless the Lord. Now I can retire. You're not here to retire. You can never retire here. Hello? Okay, let's try this. In Sri Lanka, when the preacher says hello, the people say hi. Then we know we're on the same page. Hello?
Hi.
Whoa, that's better than Sri Lanka. You see, He has a plan for you. You are God's plan. You're not here to exist. Oh, you know, one day it's all over. I'm going to put all my money and we're going to go to Acapulco, Mexico. Have you seen those people who want that special holiday? They'll do anything to get there. They get to Acapulco and they take their bags to the room and the guy's back goes out. Or somebody falls and, you know, you can never really retire in this world. You cannot have complete peace. Spend all your money and let's go to Hawaii, honey. Me and you, and we're going to have a great time. We're going to just take it off. Go to Hawaii, get off the plane, and before the bags come, they have a big argument. End of holiday. Why? This world, we have been placed here for a higher purpose. Don't get me wrong. Please, take your breaks, take your holidays, enjoy it. But don't put all your stock in it. That's not what you're here for. You see, God is saying a lot of things and He wants you to listen to Him. He wants you to start doing things. You know, we want to hear and hear, and we are hearing so much and doing absolutely nothing. In Luke chapter 6, verses 46 to the end. Luke 6, 46 to the end. Now, when I said to the end, I lost some of you. It's only 3 verses to the end, okay? So stick with me. Luke 6:46 says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? I will show you what He is like who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice. He is like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck that house, but could not shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed and its destruction was complete. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say. Father, please be with us. Let Dishan decrease, Holy Spirit increase. Give listening ears, receptive hearts. Let your will be done in Jesus' name. And everybody said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, but don't do what I say? The story that happened in Eastern Europe before the Iron Curtain fell. People had to sneak in and come to church because they were not allowed. So two or three would gather and they'd come on a side street, jump the other street, come through an alley and get into this room, sit down. Everybody sat quietly. 1 minute later, somebody else comes in. 2 minutes later, another two will come. They won't come together because it'll attract too much attention. Finally, when everybody was in a small group, they'd lock the doors, shut the windows, then they would stand up and praise the Lord. Like you and I were doing a few moments ago, they'll say, I love you, Lord. I worship you. You are God. You know, all these great things about God and worship. One day while they were worshiping, they heard footsteps of army boots coming. The soldiers surrounded the building. They kicked the door open. They brought their machine guns in. They said, you Christians, you are the filth of the earth. Because of you, we can't win our communistic cause. Today, we're going to get rid of you once and for all. And they came in and they surrounded them. And they said, this is it for you. People got very quiet, bowed their heads. And then when they bowed their heads, they suddenly heard the leader say, maybe some of you are here. You don't really believe in this Christian nonsense. You're just here for the ride. I'll give 60 seconds for those who don't believe in this to leave the building. Silence, no one moves, and you know how it is, suddenly a few feet begin to shuffle and then everybody shouting and jumping, not out of the doors but out of the windows. In 30 seconds, half the building was cleared. The men raised their guns. The people bowed down and prayed. Suddenly the men dropped their guns and the leader said, brethren, we have come to worship with you. But first, we had to get rid of the hypocrites. Now, in that story, which is amusing, there's a very serious question for this morning. If that same thing were to have happened in Central Assembly this morning, would you have gone or would you have stayed? Is Jesus Christ really the Lord of your life? Is he really number one? Is he really the King of Kings? Is he really worth living for and worth dying for? Today, unfortunately, in the church, everything has to be convenient. It has to be my way. It doesn't suit my family. It's all about me. Oh, I don't like this church. I don't like the preaching. We have no pastor. The singer is not there. You know, I'm going to go to the other one, the perfect church down the road. Please, if you leave this church, that's fine. But don't go to the perfect church down the road. Because as soon as you enter the perfect church down the road, that poor church becomes imperfect because you went in. Because you and I are not perfect. Hello? Hello? That's better. Are you with me? Are you willing to live for him? Is he really the Lord of your life? Acts 16:31 says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house. Salvation comes when you believe in whom? Who? No. Who? The Lord Jesus Christ. You see, we have to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ because many people accept all that Jesus offers as Lord while rejecting we accept all that he demands. I'm getting it all mixed up. Many people accept all that Jesus offers as Savior while rejecting all that he demands as Lord. Let me say it again. Many people accept all that Jesus offers as Savior. As Savior, come into my life. Bless me, Lord. Do this miracle. Take care of this situation. Oh, God, please, you know. Savior, yes, yes, more, 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 more. So we take everything he offers as Savior while rejecting all that he demands as Lord. When he says, I am Lord, I want. He says, not now, Lord. No, Lord. Just a minute, Lord. I want to tell you, my friend, if the Lord is around, you better watch your answers. I learned this word in America called an oxymoron. I honestly hadn't heard it a bit before till I was here some years ago. And you know what an oxymoron is, right? Okay. An oxymoron is when you take two opposites and set it together in a contrasting way. This happens to me every time. You know, after I explain it, you guys look more confused than before I explained it. It's some things that just don't go together. Are you with me? This pastor here, could you stand? You. Do you know his name? What's his name? Pastor Kaya. Okay. An oxymoron is when you say, my, that is cruel kindness. You can't have cruel kindness, can you? Or you say, my, this is intelligent stupidity. Can you have intelligent stupidity? Or that is a known secret. Or she's awfully nice. Or this is a real fake. Or that is wireless cable. The one I like the best is, you know, some things just don't go well together. Are you with me? Am I right? You go to your restaurants in America and they say, today's special is jumbo shrimp. It doesn't go together. Or it's like saying, handsome Pastor Kyle. Just... You know, I'm kidding. He's very handsome. You know, I'm just using an example. It's like saying ugly Dishan. It doesn't go, you know. So, anyway, while you laugh about oxymorons, there's one oxymoron in the church that's not laughable. It's sad. It's the oxymoron that says, no, Lord. Not now, Lord. You know, some of us have been saying it for years. We don't say it with our mouth, but we say it with our lifestyle. There is a survey on the Christian church. This is an old one, but I read it. And it's a survey of the American Christian church. It says, of those listed as church members, 10% cannot be found. 20% never attend church. Of those listed as church members, 25% never pray. 30% never read the Bible. 40% never give to church causes. Of those listed as church members, 50% never attend the evening worship service. 60% will never give to missions. Of those listed as church members, 75% just warm the pew. They assume absolutely no responsibility in the church. And this survey says 85% will never attend a midweek home group or service. This is the bad one. In this survey it says 95% of those listed as church members have never won one soul to Jesus. I think 5% is still high. If we were growing at 5%, I think we still have revival. But you know, the funny part of the survey is it said of 100% of those surveyed yet expect to go to heaven. Figure that out if you can, says the article. Now, I can't figure it out, but I can tell you what it's saying. It's saying, no, Lord. Not now, Lord. Not this possession, Lord. Well, I want to tell you, my friend, if the Lord is around, you and I can never say no. And if we say no, the Lord can't be around. He is God. He is Lord. He's not some peon. He's not some servant. He's not somebody who we use and abuse to get other things done. He is God. Yes, He's loving. He's kind. He's compassionate. He'll do everything for us. But I want to tell you, He is still God. He is still the King of Kings. Oh God, you are the master, I am the servant. Oh God, you are the master, I am the servant. That's how we pray. Oh God, you are the master, I am the servant. And then we shift gears. God, do this, take care of that, make sure that happens. God, I need this. Lord, my mother-in-law, you take care of her. Lord, my money, Lord, my this. I tell my church, you know, take the word God out in your prayer and put Butler James in there. It sounds the same. Now, listen to me. There's nothing wrong in asking, okay? That's not what I'm getting at. He says ask, right? It's the attitude. Oh, if God doesn't do this for me, you know. Look at it. Did I create God for me? God, I'm mad at you because you didn't perform. No, God created me for him. He created me just to love me. He created you for him. No, Lord, not now, Lord. Don't be deceived, my friend. Listen to me very carefully. Jesus Christ will not be Savior where he is not Lord. Doesn't matter how kind you think he is, how compassionate, how loving. He can't come in as anything else but Lord. Jesus Christ will not be Savior where he is not Lord. He comes in as the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a saying that says he will not be the Lord at all if he can't be the Lord of all. There is no partial. Oh, I'll give you my Sunday. Okay, God, I gave you my 2 hours. Now let me get on with my, okay? No, he doesn't come like that. You can't give him duties. He's not a dog that you throw a bone and say, okay, hope you're satisfied now. Some people don't like when I speak like this, but I'll tell you what. Sometimes we do treat God like a dog. We got the G and the D mixed up. We try to do our little duties and keep him happy. We don't need to keep God happy. God created me from dust. I am a nothing. He breathed life into me. Who am I? He is God. Listen, church, when you want to be fulfilled, you want to have your rest, you want to be happy, you want to make sure that you're going to be okay, put him in the right place. As soon as you put him in the right place, your life comes together. God is saying things to you. You're listening but not doing. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? Sometimes we say, oh God, let your kingdom come. But in reality, we're not worried about God's kingdom. We're worried about our kingdom. Oh man, I live to make sure all my things are okay. Now don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong. Pay your mortgage. Get your kids into college. Do those things. You know what I'm talking about. We all need to. Are you with me? But you know, you could also understand those are just side things. Because you are here for a time, so his kingdom may be established. What you do will last forever. Listen, if you don't wake up tomorrow morning at 6 o'clock in the morning, who cares about your mortgage? Who cares about half the things you're planning to do on your agenda for this month? Well, I'll tell you, if your neighbor goes to hell, if the person God placed in your life will never have an opportunity to hear the gospel, I think we have a major problem. The Satan has deceived us and got us so involved. That's why he says, listen to me. A lot of us say, oh God, let your kingdom come. In Matthew 6, it says, our Father which art in heaven. You know the Lord's Prayer? How many of you pray it like this? Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be my name, my kingdom come, my will be done. We don't say it, but a lot of the times we live it. Jesus Christ will not be Savior where he is not Lord. I want to bring this to a close. Some of you get very excited when I say close because you don't know me. I normally close 8 times. But today the Dallas Cowboys are calling some of you. Let me bring this in this way. Something God spoke to me very strongly. You know, our church has grown. A lot of good things are happening. This year we're going to 10,000 by the end of 2010 on a weekly ministry. In the next 2 years, we want to go to 25. We have just put goals. We just want to reach people. We're not just trying to do, just say, hey. But God showed me something, is that everybody in the church has a part to play. You know, we've run, we have purpose driven, we've had G12, we've had this, something from Colombia. Next year you'll want something from Argentina. Maybe after that something will have to come from Jamaica. I don't know. But some of it the Lord showed me is a poor excuse for Christians not doing what they were meant to do. Only 10 or 15% of the church is doing what they're meant to do, so we have to bring in systems to get the rest done. But God said, I wanted everybody to go and make disciples. You know, we listen to a lot of things, but we don't put it into practice. In Matthew 5:11-19, it says, wisdom is vindicated by her deeds. Whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great. You know, he's talking about in that order. We hear and hear and hear, but we don't do. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? You can even know it, understand it, but if you don't do it, you know, we need to be doers. Knowledge alone is not wisdom. Some people in the church are living in adultery. Some are battling with drunkenness, financial fraud, pornography, bondage in the church. Why? Because they can hear it, they know it, they have the feel goodness, but they will not practice it. God is saying, do what I say. Some people are running behind a prophecy. If I can get a prophecy, if I can get one more word, if I can get one more revelation. Some do classes and from there want to do a master's to doctorate to get more and more and more knowledge. Nothing wrong. But I want to tell you, you don't need another prophecy. If 2010, we can just start to do all we've heard. We don't even need to read so much anymore. We are full of knowledge. We have 100 pounds of learning. And 1 ounce of practice. It's time we practice what we've heard. I know some of you, listen to me, you don't need another word. You know right from wrong. You don't need somebody to tell you that. You know it's wrong. Do what is right. Practice it. Get God back in the picture. A lot of people run around. They want to find somebody who will condone their sin. Who will agree with their way of thinking. No, let's practice what we have heard. Why do you call me Lord, Lord? Do not do what I say. He says, we got to practice. One man said, we practice what we believe. All the rest is religious froth. You see, learning alone doesn't bring you wisdom. You can learn. You can go up in your qualifications. You can acquire all the knowledge. It'll do you nothing. You still can be a fool. God says, don't call anybody a fool. You know that in the Bible. But if God calls you a fool, you're not a fool, you're a big fool. I was saying in America once, I said, you know, we use the word ass. You know, you can be like a donkey. You can be a donkey and ass. Somebody said, in America, don't say that. Because, you know, I said, if God, you can be an ass, but if God calls you a fool, you're not just an ass, you're a jackass. And somebody said, please don't say that in America. Okay, so I won't. You know, I hope you're getting my point. Are you getting my point? He's a fool who hears, hears, and doesn't do it. Wisdom comes by doing. We don't need another revelation in 2010. We need to start doing what we've already heard. You see, God is calling you and I to be what He wants us to be. That's the difference between foolish and wise. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? God kept you for a purpose. I told you, why didn't He take you the moment you got saved? If He took me the moment I got saved, I would never backslide. Chances are zero. He keeps me. Why? So I may mature, I may grow. Are you with me? Oh, Pastor, I need to grow. That's why I'm here. I want to tell you, maturity you don't need to go to heaven. All you need is God's grace. 3 pages of the Bible and you'll be in heaven. Why 66 books? So you'll be effective here. Some of you are saying, oh, I'm too old. Preach that to the young guys. You know, I'm retired. Well, let me have news for you. If God thought you were too old, you wouldn't be here this morning. You'd be 6 feet under. You see, you have something to fulfill. Some of you are giving up too early. Don't survive. Don't keep watching. Oh, I better do this till I die. Just hang on. No, God has a plan for you. We need you. It is you who holds us up, who shows us the path. We won't fall in the same holes. Church, we need to get excited and ready. You know what you're saying? Oh, wait till our pastor comes. Then we'll be all right. No, the poor man will die if you're all going to wait for him to come. We need to do what we're supposed to do. God has a plan. You receive power to become a witness. I got to close. Is Jesus Christ really the Lord of your life? Have you really found meaning as to why you're alive and not dead? Why does he keep you? The strongest question I have for you, which is for me, will there be anyone in heaven because of you? Will there be anyone in heaven because of what you do in 2010? I can preach great sermons. I can preach to thousands. I can do big crusades. But you know, that doesn't count. There are people in my world, people who went to high school with me, people who I move around. I don't need to go knocking on doors and them slam the door. I don't need to do this Christian duty jargon, you know. A lot of people say, hey, you better get saved. Here's a tract. They don't care. They actually ruin Christianity. They make people throw up. No, God says, touch your world first in Jerusalem. There are people in your circle who are going to hell who don't know any better. But will you do it? God wants you to be his hand extended. Will there be anyone in heaven because of you? I'll tell you one more story. I'm done. As a young man who was my age, got saved miraculously. Somebody threw literature into his temple and he got saved and he got discipled, came out, didn't know what to do, had a real passion and realized that he just wanted to tell people about being a witness. You know, the Holy Spirit, Acts 1:8, will come upon you. You'll receive power. Remember that? And we receive power. A lot of us want the power. We want the healing. We want to see. No, the first thing was to be a witness. Witness is not your knowledge, not how many theology courses you did. A witness is you just say what happened to you. That's it. Nobody can argue with that. And he became a witness. He went to the southern part of Sri Lanka where nobody had gone. We didn't have one church in the whole district. And one to one, he had witnessed to about 300 people. Then he started a service. He married. He had a baby of about 9 months or somewhere there. And a small service. The village had a meeting. And they said Christianity was a little plant. We could have plucked it with our fingers. We didn't. Now we have to axe the tree down. Well, he came to the city. My father was the general superintendent at that time and I was living there in their house. And he talked to us and he told this story. And my father said, you know what that means? They're going to kill you. He said, don't go back to your village. Stay here because when things cool down, you can go. He said, no, I can't. God has called me. My people are there, my wife, my baby. That night, I gave him my bed. He slept on my bed and the next day he went back to his village. About 4 or 5 days after he went back, at 8 o'clock in the night, he heard a knock on the door. He was playing with his baby. He went to open the door. There were two men. They said, Pastor, can we speak to you? He said, just a minute. He went to the back room, gave his wife the baby, came back and he opened the door. As soon as he opened the door, one man took a homemade gun, put it in his mouth and pulled the trigger. Because it was a homemade gun, his mouth exploded, but he didn't die. He ran to the back of the room. The other man followed up and he took a knife and he stabbed him many times in the back. That day that pastor gave his life for the kingdom of God, for just doing what he believed God said. He was going to be a doer for the people of that south and for the people in Sri Lanka. When the funeral happened, we were all going for the funeral. The Assemblies of God executive stopped us halfway, put all of us young pastors in a room in a hotel and said, don't go. We don't know what's going to happen. If something happens, at least the younger pastors will be there to continue the work. His wife said, I will do it. I want to pastor. Well, she had no education, no credentials, so the AG said, you cannot do that. So then we said, okay, let her come under our church. We'll train her on the run. And we put her there. I remember 3 years after he died, I was in charge of the South. I went for a memorial service, and we had a lot of people there, and we were having lunch. And she said, Pastor, you know, my husband, before he died, said, you know, God has told me his will is for me to go somewhere. I don't know where. But she says, now I know where that is. He was going to heaven. But I know God's will for me here is to stay here. She said, now I've got messages saying, if you don't quit, we will do the same thing we did to your husband. And she said, I sent a message back to the killers. I said, it was God's will for my husband to go, but it's God's will for me to stay. Even if you want to kill me, you can't. Today, we don't have one church in the South. We have about 10 churches in the South. We have hundreds of believers. We have kids in Bible school. We have so many things happening. You know why? Because somebody was willing to act on what they heard. Somebody was willing to say, yes, Lord. And not no, Lord. Not now, Lord. Yes, Lord. I will do what it takes. Friend, listen to me. You in America, God needs you. There is apathy. There is a sense of laziness in the church. Everybody's moved towards convenience and thinking this is heaven. This is not heaven. You're not going to receive all your miracles here. Some people are dying to get healed. Healing, who cares about healing? Healing is a patch on this body that is going to dust. That's healing. If you are sick and you're not healed, who cares? Continue doing God's will. Some of you are saying, oh, he doesn't believe in healing. Hey, I believe in healing. My grandmother was dead, came back to life. I've seen a 2-year-old baby come back to life. I see miracles every week. That book, please read the book. Take it. It's what, 10 bucks? If you don't have 10 bucks, you just put what you have. Take it anyway. It doesn't matter. But get the faith up. But you know what? If you're healed or not, listen to me, you're still going to die. That's the beauty about healing. Sickness is an excuse to finally go and meet Jesus. You see, I believe in healing, but don't let it dominate your life. What should dominate your life is, are you fulfilling God's purpose? Are you living in God's plan? Unfortunately, the church gets excited about the wrong things. We see a lady walk out of a wheelchair and man, we dance and dump and we are so happy because she's out of the wheelchair. We'll write a book and put on television. But we go to the mall and somebody says, hey, 3 kids gave their heart to Jesus. We say, so what? We got it all messed up, haven't we? Are you willing to do what he has said? He has told you to be his witness. It's not what the system is doing. It's not what the pastor will come and do. It's not what the pastors here are doing. It's not your program. What are you doing? Will there be anyone in heaven because of you? Please bow your head. I want you to make a commitment. Some of you have made commitments for maybe 50 years. Just a fresh one. And say, Lord, whatever I do in 2010, I'm not going to look at what's going on in my church, whether we have the right systems in, whether we're going to get a senior pastor, whether everything is going to go right or not. I'm not going to worry about things that are not me to worry about. I'm going to see about my life. Will there be anybody, Father, in heaven because of me, because of what I do in 2010? Would you pray with me? Everybody who wants to pray this prayer, I want to raise your hand. If you want to make this commitment and say, Lord, whatever I do in 2010, I want to have somebody in heaven because of me. You may have done it. You may be a pastor. You may be an expert. But as a family, would you raise your hand and say, yes, I'm going to commit to do what it takes to have somebody in heaven because of me. Please raise your hand right up if this is your commitment. Father, you see our hands. We are one family. I pray that this commitment will go deep into our core. We will never forget. All we want is one person in heaven because of me. Because of what I do. I want you to be the Lord of my life, Lord. Be the King of Kings. Help me never to say no, Lord. Not now, Lord. Put my thing first. But to put you first. And let there be somebody in heaven because of me. Give them anointing. Give them the freshness and the boldness that's needed. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen.